see me here?
I knew you'd come.
Morton once told me I could never be like him. Now I understand why. Wouldn't have bothered him knowing you were around somewhere alive.
So you found out you're not a businessman after all?
Just a man.
An ancient race. Other mortals will be along, and they'll kill it off.
Future don't matter to us. Nothing matters now, not the land, not the money, not the woman. I came here to see you. Because I know that now you'll tell me what you're after.
Aryan resistance calling. White Aryan resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
And how are you? Terrible Tommy here in the bunker right here in north central Indiana, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse, where the elite meet to eat. And sometimes, actually, most of the time, drink. That's right next to our filling station, where we only sell Ethel and Regular here for V8 cars. Yeah. Don't come around here with none of those Asian stuff. Yeah. And that's right next to our weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard. And we're getting them in here now, boy, from all over the place. Thanks to our Chinese buddies that helped transport that stuff in. Ever since they outlawed Islam in China, I've been liking China people. Yeah. Oh, we got some drones coming in. We haven't had those in the past. You can have lots of fun with drones, man. Ho, we got them priced right. We got them fixed up and all the bullet holes bondoed shut and repainted them. If you're She-Wolf and you want a pink one, we'll paint it pink for you. Paint job is free. So get down here and get your stuff in the summertime, because we close up in the winter and just hang out over at Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and sing karaoke and drink. So you got to get down here before the snow flies and bring your 18-wheelers in here, but don't block my neighbors coming down that road. So and just take them on back and hide them in a cave someplace or in a warehouse someplace. And when the shit hits the fan, you'll be ready, boys. I know all the feds and so forth that tune into this show, I'm sure there's thousands of them, they laugh about that. They think it's funny. Well, They'll see whether it's funny. Once we get the NSA out of the way and get the CIA out of the way, get the FBI out of the way, get the IRS out of the way, or at least brought under control. Yeah, because they're just going too far. I mean, it's time to shut those boys down, I think. What do you think? Yeah. And to do that, it's worse is better. In the immortal words of Vladimir Lenin, worse is better. You say, oh my God, he was a communist. Well, he actually was not a communist, really. He was a socialist. There is a difference. I know, it's not some... real socialism is really an Aryan concept. Communism is a Jewish concept, but it's only used by capitalists to enslave people. They don't take it seriously to share the wealth with the downtrodden, right? Like in the Soviet Union, all the big shots could drive through Moscow doing 100 miles an hour and never get a ticket. They lived in big mansions down on the Black Sea. Yeah, right, communism. No, that was state capitalism. Always remember that. When some conservative says it's communism, say bullshit, that was state capitalism. You love capitalism so much? That's what predatory capitalism always ends up being. Dictatorship of the rich. Well, tomorrow's a big day over in Wisconsin. We got this, I don't know what you'd call this Republican Speaker of the House, Ryan. He's only been around for about 90 days. He's a pain in the ass, and they got some upstart over there that's running a pretty good race, so I hope he gets his ass beat, because there's nothing I despise more than elitist ruling class Republicans. Yeah, I do. And remember, it's all right to hate. See, you got to understand, hate comes in different levels. Most people don't ever hate with perfect hatred. They hate sort of a watered-down hatred. That's called extreme dislike. So when they say you're a hater, say, well, yeah, I'm a hater, but what kind of hate do you mean? Do you mean I'm hating so bad I can't stop myself from grabbing this butcher knife and plunging it into your chest? Or is it hatred that says, I'm going to take my fist and give you a nosebleed? Now, there's different kinds of hatred. And love, too. Most people never know any kind of love. They know a lot of lust. That's the big thing, lust. That usually lasts overnight or sometimes up to a couple of years, but if you get beyond that, you might get some love, but it comes in various degrees, too. You know, there's companionship, loyalty, all these things that actually in the end mean even more than all the sex stuff. That gradually goes away. Of course, never altogether. I mean, come on. Now, that intro was from the greatest Western film ever made. And I was fortunate enough to meet some of the people who made that film, because they were part of a film crew that were doing a documentary that I was included into. And they came to Fallbrook, California, to my home, and we shot a documentary for a few days. It's still around. I think it's up on YouTube. But I told the crew, they asked me what I thought was the greatest Western movie ever made. And I said, no doubt, Once Upon a Time in the West. It's got all the symbolism, really, of what we're up against now. The ending should have been turned around. Fonda should have won the gunfight, but still, the symbolism was there. It all boils down to, we're going to get them or they're going to get us. And we ain't going to screw around. You know, all this shit of marching in the street and carrying your little Nazi flag down the street and all that kind of, or having a Klan cross-lighting, and all, that's all nonsense. That's all, by the way, that's all in the past. Forget all that. We're getting into the deep weeds now, man. And it's going to be bad. A demonstration means nothing unless there's guns involved, as far as I'm concerned. Nothing changes without blood. And ISIS knows that. No matter what you think of ISIS, they're playing for keeps, or at least a lot of them are. And to a degree, you got to respect that. And because I surely don't respect most of the armed force activity for the military-industrial complex. The only ones you can respect that go into that stuff is the ones who fight to the death. And they know at the end they're fighting for their survival as a personal soldier or a personal pilot or whatever, not as the group. Because the group, for the most part, most people in the military are just as big of failures as they were when they were civilians. Believe me, I was in there, I know it. I met some of the biggest losers ever. And, of course, the reason for that, of course, is the military is a social... You don't like socialism, military is the biggest socialist operation there is. It's one of the biggest race-mixing outfit there ever was the military. Yeah, that's right. And once the niggers knew that, they couldn't get to the recruiting office in time, man, because they knew most of them weren't going to do heavy time, you know, front-line stuff. Because most soldiers never do see action. They see a lot of bullshit fringe activity and support activity, but all these guys that hang out at the American Legion, VFW, almost 100% of them never saw any combat. And the ones who have, usually are the guy who sits there quietly drinking his drink and don't want to talk about it. I've met very few of those, maybe 1 in 100 people that have been in the military, do you know they've been in the deep shit and they don't want to talk about it. Anyhow, rent this Once Upon a Time in the West film as a personal favor to me and watch it and let me know what you think. And there's so much symbolism with the West opening up and the railroads coming through and gangsters and warriors and outlaws and Jason Robards Jr. was in it. He did a good job. And the gal, I'm trying to remember her name. I'll remember it after I get off the air here. But, boy, what a doll she was. Italian chick. Those spaghetti, and also all those spaghetti westerns with Clint Eastwood, excellent films. All kinds of symbolism. If you don't watch these films and get symbolism and ideas, my main squeeze and I went to the movie yesterday, the new Jason Bourne film. Man, that is a terrific film. Don't miss it. Outside all the crazy car chases, some of the wildest car chases I ever saw, the meat of the story is fantastic, and you can come away with all kinds of ideas. If you don't go to the movies and separate the wheat from the chaff and pick up on the good ideas and mull them around in your head, you're spending your money needlessly. You're just being entertained. There's more going to the movies than being entertained. Some of those Hollywood writers, they really got it together. I mean, it must make the FBI and CIA and these people scratch where they don't itch a little bit, because these guys get so close to it with these stories, it's unbelievable. So anyhow, that's another film to see. Jason Bourne. However, in the beginning of the film, it shows Jason Bourne being dropped in a desert someplace to fight this Armenian. And this Armenian was a mountain, and Jason Bourne knocked him out with one punch, and I elbowed my gal and said, that's a bunch of bullshit. He would have never knocked that guy out with one punch or 50 punches. That guy was a mountain. So sometimes those riders get carried away. But most of the right people get knocked off in this film, Jason Bourne. Yeah, at the top, I've always told you, at the top. The top is the secret. The bottom's not so much. Every time I see a film like that, and boy, the FBI is going to like this, I get a kick out of the fact that I stood right there with Bill Clinton here at the high school in Warsaw and shook his hand briefly. I was that close. And with George Bush Sr., I shook his hand. I was within 3 feet of him. Always tickles me to think about that. Nobody ever asked me any questions. If I was a big shot, I wouldn't feel too safe anymore. If a crazy ass like me could get that close, I don't think they got much security. But always remember, just taking one big shot out is not going to change things hardly at all. And so you go to jail for 100 years. It takes a lot more than that. And so, anyhow, don't waste yourself on something that's not going to change things. The things that can change things is their toys. The ruling class, political class, toys. They hate to lose their toys, if you know what I mean. And they like to feel safe in their little hideaways, but you can make them feel like there's never any safety anyplace. Just the fact that you're around. Because racism is deep in this country and around the world, and it's going to stay that way. And all these people that yap about we're beyond racism, they're such fools, and they're walking past the graveyard. They're running past the graveyard because, you know, race is a major factor in evolution. It's not going to change. Oh, it's going to go up and down a little bit, but the more it goes down, the more it's going to be explosive when it comes up the other side. Believe me. As Donald Trump would say, believe me. Well, I was picking up a few things around on the internet, and I ran into this guy who calls himself Nazi Guy. And he's on a radio show here. I don't know who the guy is, but there's... starts out, you think it's a pretty good deal, you know. Let me see here. Pretty good deal. But there's a hook in this concept. Same old hook. Well, if we get Trump in there, and if we can start building on it with our European white brothers, which sounds good on paper, we can get this white nationalism going and so forth. Well, we may have a chance to do something. Well, this is the same old hook to pull you right back into the losing crap you've always been hooked into, because it's not going to be done that way, man. It's not going to be done. I'm going to play this for you and see what you think. And some of it you're going to like. Of course, you'll notice the guy's trying to disguise his voice, which is a bunch of shit. They know, they can find you in 5 seconds.
Hence, not to toot our own horns, but that's what we've been trying to do for years now, is to get out of the entertainment, you know, street corner fantasy, you know, screwballism nonsense, and to actually get into going in small way to take part in real political activity. Now, hopefully, if the white movement in this country would follow your European brothers and get involved in this, it's a possibility, okay, that we could get something serious going here too, okay? I'm going to project this. I believe that Trump is going to win the election this November, okay, for various reasons, which I don't want to go into again, but I think it's going to surprise the enemy, because I think that they feel that the white working class, especially the male portion of the white working class, and with him, you know, his female counterparts, had basically thrown in the towel and given up hope of any politician, you know, ever again standing up for their interests.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Trump does win, okay, it's going to be a real opportunity for people like white nationalists, okay, acting intelligently to build upon that and to go and start. Okay, you know how you have the black political caucus and whatnot, all right, again, Congress and everything? To start building on something like that, okay? It doesn't have to be anti, okay, like the movement's been for decades, so much as it has to be pro-white. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to go and call us bigots if we don't go around and act like a bigot, okay? And that's what the movement should contemplate, all right? I mean, let's face it. If blacks act like savages, you don't need to go around and have to point out constantly that, you know, they're acting like savages, so they are savages. Hey, the people see that. They recognize it, okay? What we need to do is start worrying about the health of our white folk, okay? Because, you know, the honest to God truth is, if our people got their healthy racial spirit back, there wouldn't be a lot that the non-whites could do to us. You know, everything that they throw at us would be like water running off a duck. You know, the problem with white people is, okay, is they have such thin skin. I mean, they're so afraid to have some PC judgment leveled at them. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I mean, sticks and stones will break our bones, but all the bullshit that they throw at us like that, it doesn't matter. Because we just smile, laugh, and go on with what we're doing. To do for years now is to get out of the entertainment, street corner fantasy, screwballism nonsense, and to actually get into going in a small way to take part in real political activity. Now, hopefully, if the white movement in this country would follow your European brothers involved in this, it's a possibility, okay, that we could get something serious going here too, okay? I'm going to project this. I believe that Trump is going to win the election this November, okay, for various reasons, which I don't want to go into again. But I think it's going to surprise the enemy because I think that they feel that the white working class, especially the male portion of the white working class, and with him, you know, his female counterparts, have basically thrown in the towel and given up hope of any politician, you know, ever again standing up for their interests.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Trump does win, okay, it's going to be a real opportunity for people like white nationalists, okay, acting intelligently to build upon that and to go and start. Okay, you know how you have the black political caucus and whatnot, all right, again, in Congress and everything?
Right.
To start building on something like that, okay? It doesn't have to be anti, okay, like the movement's been for decades, so much as it has to be pro-white. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to go and call us bigots if we don't go around and act like a bigot, okay? And that's what the movement should contemplate, all right? I mean, let's face it. If blacks act like savages, you don't need to go around and have to point out constantly that, you know, they're acting like savages, so they are savages. Hey,
people see that, they recognize it, okay? What we need to do is start worrying about the health of our white folk, okay? Because, you know, the honest to God truth is, if our people got their healthy racial spirit back, there wouldn't be a lot that the non-whites could do to us. You know, mm-hmm. everything that they throw at us would be like water running off a duck. You know, the problem with white people is, okay, is they have such thin skin. I mean, they're so afraid to have some PC judgment leveled at them. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I mean, sticks and stones will break our bones, but all the bullshit that they throw at us like that, it doesn't matter, because we just smile, laugh, and go on with what we're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Sure. And that's what we have to do. We have to keep our eyes on the prize, as the, you know, the slogan goes there, okay? And, you know, it can be done. It really can, okay?
Absolutely.
But, I mean, to me, it's just sad that over in Europe, with all their hate crime laws and all the rest of it, okay, they can go and have such a rebirth of white nationalism. But here in America, I mean, you know, we don't take advantage of the tools that are still available to us.
Yeah, they live under much stricter police states than we do here.
Yeah.
Well,
so
you know,
it certainly can be done.
It can be done, yeah. But you have to be willing to do it.
You know.
Okay.
You know, just to point something out. I mean, like, if this were Europe, and I were to say right here on this program, there were no 6 million.
Well, now I see who that was. That was none other than National Socialist Rocky Sejeda, who I used to know, and I still know, but I used to work with him a little bit way back, but he sort of took a turn that I didn't want to make, and he went on with his waving the swastika flag around and going down the right-wing Nazi way, and I knew that wasn't the way to go. Now he's preaching a different tone, which is a little bit closer to what we're talking about, or what I'm talking about. But anyhow, I don't think he's got much of a following, or whether any of us have much of a following as far as that's concerned. But anyhow, talking about white nationalism, forget it, Europeans, they're going to be the last to explode. And all this is based on waking up the masses of white working people. You don't understand human nature. You need to study the psychology of the crowd and things like that. The white masses never did wake up about anything until it got so simple that any idiot could see it. It's only anything that's ever changed in this world started with a very small minority of people. And it'll never change. Small minority of people run the show, and the small minority of the people can stop the show. But there's this right-wing conservative type movement idea of white nationalism will go nowhere. And tying your future to Ronald Trump, with all of his Jewish friends and all the things that he's got in his closet, and that's not going to go anywhere. These guys don't understand that even if Donald Trump wins a popular vote, it means nothing. They can stop him at the Electoral College. Gore was ahead of Bush by 500,000 votes, according to my information. But did he win? No. In fact, it wasn't even the Electoral College. It was the Supreme Court that said, no, Gore, even though you won, you lose. Gore didn't have the balls to confront them. like he should have. Anybody got that close and actually won that would not have gone to the streets is a fool, unless he's paid off. And of course, Gore's living in a giant palace, and he's got everything his way, so he probably thought, well, hell with it. I don't want to sacrifice everything I've got, so I'll go along with the flow, or they'll kill me. Which is the coward's way out, of course. It's interesting that this Rocky Skaheda appearance on this radio show appeared on an Israeli Jew webpage. So they must have liked what he said. And if they like what he said, that's not a good sign. There's an article, I'm not going to read it, but I like the headline, "How Studying the Talmud Helps Me Understand Racism in America." Wow. Well, this Black Lives Matter thing is going to maybe work out to our favor. I think the more it talks about racism, the more racism there'll be. And so I love it. The more the media yap about racism, the more racism there'll be. And I was reading this article about the Jews whining about Black Lives Matter now that Black Lives Matter has turned on the Jews. Until now, Black Lives Matter has been seen as a U.S. movement. This comes from a Jewish source. Its website lists Toronto as its only international chapter. That all changed on Friday when Black Lives Matter UK hit the headlines when, as part of the coordinated day of action, the movement blocked the roads across UK. That's great. Most notably, the route to Heathrow Airport. Oh, that hits the ruling class really good. Not that the spread of the campaign to Britain should come as any surprise. There's a long and ignoble history of people of color dying at the hands of the British police. Well, go down and look at history in Africa if you want to see how many black people died at the hands of the British army. It makes the British police killing of blacks very minor. From Blair Peach and Joy Gardner to Anthony Granger and Jean Charles Domenzi, the police shooting of Mark Dugan was the trigger for London riots in 2011. Even though he may have deserved it. The campaign for racial justice, that's an interesting concept, in the UK has previously been led by groups like London Black Revs and Sisters Uncut, but the name Black Lives Matter has become well known from successful U.S. campaigns. Successful for the system, you know. That's what the... You don't realize how much this helps the system and its use, and will help us in the long run. And its use will definitely raise the profile of these issues. Particularly significant in Friday's action is the highlighting of Britain's immigration policy. No, it's an invasion policy. You got that wrong. Invasion. With white sellout ruling class people egging it on, and how it imposes violence on those seeking to come to or remain in Britain from Southern Europe, North Africa, and the Middle East. My God, how many people are you going to jam into England? England's such... Hey, I don't think England's much bigger than Texas, is it? May even be smaller. Are you going to put the whole non-white world there? Yeah. Well, if they leave their countries empty, well, maybe we'd be best to immigrate there. You know, there's a lot of areas of the world where non-whites are that is a good place to build an Aryan society. Yeah, could be done. In 2010, Jimmy Mubinga died on an airplane while being forcefully repatriated to Angola. We know how that happens. That's like the one who got his neck broke in the back of the paddy wagon. They're such animalistic, childlike people. They throw themselves around and go crazy. And they probably had to put a chokehold on him to keep him from causing the airplane to crash. but that's a big worldwide racial thing. Yet the private security guards who caused his death were later found not guilty of manslaughter. Well, they had to stop the guy from causing the plane to crash. They'd do that to anybody. You know, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, you start raising hell on an airplane like a nigger would do, they're going to put you down some way. This year, Amir Saman Tov, a Jewish Moroccan, died while being held at an immigration detention center in West London. Well, boy, now the shit's got to hit the fan. It remains to be seen how British Jewish leaders will react to Friday's action, but it seems likely that attitudes of the British leadership will mirror those of U.S. Jews. They tried to cozy up to Black Lives Matter. The Jews always do that. Anything they can do to chip away at the white race. The British Jewish community has a complex history when it comes to questions of racial equality. Well, there is no racial equality. There is no equality. Equality is bullshit. In the post-war period, British Jews preferred to self-defense as a religious rather than an ethnic minority. The community was disciplined to endanger its hard-earned respectability and acceptance by advocating the rights of more recently arrived invaders. In 1970s and 80s, important work was done by groups on the fringes of the community, such as the Jewish Socialist Group. Oh my God, how come the Republicans never attacked people like that, the Jewish Socialist Group? Because they're Jewish, of course, and the Jewish Council of Racial Equality. Wow. Only in the late 1990s, once it became politically safe to do so, did the community's leadership move towards an explicitly pro-race-mixing multicultural position. Even then, they mostly spoke out on issues of just Jewish concern. Ah, they wouldn't do that. Jews care about all humanity. In recent years, there's been Jewish community organizing, especially around the Syrian invasion crisis with the reform. Now, remember, we invade these countries, our military-industrial complex ruling class, military-industrial complex, bomb the shit out of them, murder thousands and thousands of them, men, women, and children, we don't give a fuck, blow that house up, there may be something in it. So then they got no place to go, so they run towards some place where they aren't getting killed. I can understand that, and I can understand them even joining ISIS, you know, and say, fuck you guys, we're going to let you have it, you know. I'm afraid to admit that if I was living in an area like they're living in, and the U.S. planes and the Russian planes and everybody come in and everybody blowing the shit out of everything and killing men, women, and children, I know what I would do, and I don't think the government of the United States would like it. Okay, with the reform, but on the other hand, to protect the white race, we cannot allow this invasion. Now, there's not much we can do to stop it, though, because we have no power. And to get power, like Mao said, comes from the end of a gun. They can march all they want to in Germany and Britain and have all these groups, mostly to calm people down. But unless they rise up and go against these criminals that are in their governments and financial institutions, nothing's going to change. It's going to get worse, and there'll be no Britain. How many decades do you think it'll be? Well, Britain is not Britain at all. Just a bunch of niggers walking around with an English accent. Liberal and Masorti movements calling on the government to give refuge to Syrian children. Well, I can sympathize with Syrian children, but we can't allow non-white Syrian children to overrun our society. There's a lot of white people in the Middle East that I would be willing to help a lot of white people in Mexico and Central America that I'd be willing to help, but not the refuge, not the mestizos, not the mixed race, not the black, like that. Got to sort them out and help the whites. And, like I said, there's a lot of whites in the Middle East. I'm amazed when I see a lot of the pictures. Okay, Syrian children comparable to the Kinder transport program of the 30s that brought around 10,000 German Jewish children to Britain to save their little foreskinned ass. Such an approach lies within the traditions of the community, charitable and political neutral activity, but it's hard to imagine any UK Jewish groups outside the radical fringe supporting direct action such as we've seen Friday. When it comes to Black Lives Matter UK, most Jews will be broadly supportive of the movement's goals, but little will be said publicly. In other words, they're going along with the blacks and tearing down white society, or fornicating against white society, or whatever. If, however, the movement starts commenting on issues around Israel and Palestine, the community's response is likely to move from quietly supportive to actively hostile. Oh, the Jews are going to go after the Black Lives Matter more, yeah. Well, that'll be the end of Black Lives Matter more. The Jewish community is extremely active in advocating for Israel. And key figures such as Chief Rabbi Ephraim Mirvis and the head of the Board of Deputies, Jonathan Arkush, frequently defend Israel and its actions in the British media. That don't go well with Black Lives Matter. There have been several recent incidents in which the Jewish Chronicle and the communal establishment have gone to battle with people of color due to their position on Israel and perceived intolerance of anti-Semitism. Malia Bouita, and recently elected president of the National Union of Students, was criticized for her explicitly anti-Zionist politics. Oh, boy. Which Jewish critics argued had crossed the line into anti-Semitism. Actually, anti-Jewism. Because a lot of the people that are screaming against the Jews are Semites themselves. You got all these, you know, all these Middle Eastern Semites screaming against the Jew Semites. Jackie Walker, an activist who defines as being both black and Jewish. Oh, God, what a horrible mess. A genetic garbage can. Was condemned by communal figures for suggesting that Jews, including her ancestors, had been chief financiers of the slave trade. Well, on the slave trade, and I know the right-wing racists all keep going on and on about that. Yeah, many, many, many of the slave ships were owned by Jews, or they had invested in it. But there are many, 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 many white Aryan people who either invested in the slave trade ships, or they had to furnish the captains and so forth. Usually the captains and the sailors were non-Jewish, you know. So anyhow, everybody got into that slavery act. But the Jews are going to go invest their money wherever they can make a big profit. And there was a hell of a good profit in slavery. Most recently, Shammai Chakravarti, a prominent civil liberties advocate, received flack for not having been tough enough in her report into the allegations of anti-Jewism in the Labour Party and for accepting a parage in the wake of it. Well, you see, here's what the Jews never can keep their nose out of people's business. And for their side, too, the white Aryan leadership always want to drag them into it, too. Yeah, they always want them to support their politics and everything else. So is partly the white Aryan people's fault themselves. Let those Jews stay in the ghetto where they belong. The big ghetto of Israel. Just like in the U.S., Israel-Palestine is a significant barrier to greater U.K. Black Jewish cooperation and activism. Well, you give it enough time and every race is going to fight with the Jews. No, it don't make any difference who. Despite significant disagreements with Benjamin Netanyahu's government, the majority of British Jews consider themselves pro-Israel, while most non-Jewish activists of color are broadly sympathetic with the UK's large Palestinian solidarity movement. Yeah, see what happens when you bring all these people into your country? If Black Lives Matter UK chooses to campaign around Israel-Palestine, it's hard to imagine that it won't take a pro-BDS stance. Unsurprisingly, then, it's a non-Zionist, non-Jewish groups like the Judas and that have the closest connections with racial justice activists. I love it. Worse is better, boys. And telling both Rene Cassin, a Jewish human rights body, why wouldn't that be human, just human rights body? It's Jewish. And Zelem, a group campaigning on the issues of social and economic justice, these programs simply mean take it from Whitey and give it to somebody else, or take it to from some whiteys and give it to some other whiteys, or take it from some whiteys and give it to niggers. Whenever they talk economic justice, it's about covering their theft. Explicitly include Israel and Palestine from their remits in order to avoid controversy within the Jewish community. These Jews are getting so set. You know, if you read the Jewish papers out of Israel, you'd laugh your ass off. They're so divided and split up and screwed up, it's unbelievable. And they're so pissed off at the Orthodox Jews over there, it's unbelievable. They got way too much power. In fact, the Orthodox Jews don't like Israel. In reality, they hate Israel because they say the real Messiah hasn't come yet and all that kind of stuff. This divide exacerbates the erasure of Jews of color. Oh, yeah, where are they going to go? While the majority of British Jews are Ashkenazi, mixed with whites, the significant minority that are not frequently forgotten are frequently forgotten. And there is no UK equivalent of Beko Lashon of the Jewish Multiracial Network. See how all this multiculturalism always ends in disaster? And it has to, and it should. Nature makes sure of that. You're not going to fool Mother Nature. You think you're going to race mix the world? Somebody's going to end up on top, and somebody's going to end up on the bottom. Right now, it looks like the Chinese, unless something changes very drastically, because they've cut out Islam, made it illegal. They do have Jews in China. They've had them there for a long time. But I think they know enough to keep their mouths sort of shut unless they're in the ruling class. Like the Sassoon family, the Jews that pretty much run Asia. Black Jews like Jackie Walker are beyond the pale. Jews of color are welcome in the mainstream of the community only if they support Israel. Oh, well, that's not going to work. British Jews are broadly socially liberal and progressive. Well, of course, that fits their program perfectly. But they are also deeply attached to Israel. See, in the end, Israel is going to be the worst thing that ever happened to the Jews. And that was the Zionists. The Zionists were screwed up just like they screwed up when they teamed up with Hitler. Zionism will be the death of Israel. And the sooner Israel's out of the way, the more peaceful Jews can live. I mean, I believe that. They do much better spread around in smaller groups. Whose government, because then they don't have the ability to bring the power of the American government and European governments in to back them up. They couldn't have big armies and all that. Whose government grows ever more right-wing. Right-wing has lost any meaning, I don't know. Depends on who says it. What the fuck is right-wing? They call me an extreme right-winger. If you read what I got on the website, you wouldn't think so. Alienating potential Jewish allies in diaspora. Yeah, a lot of these Jews that are in diaspora, they just want to live their lives and stay out of it. They change their name. Leave me out of this shit. You know what happened the last time. Eventually, Jews in Britain may be forced to choose between their Zionism and their liberal values, but until they do, it's hard to imagine the community giving full-throated support for the racial justice movement in the KKK. No, UK. For British Jewish community, black lives matter, but Jewish lives matter even more. You see, when you say white lives matter more, they jump all over you, but here the Jews say right in their publication, Jewish lives matter even more. And that's from a Jewish magazine, Maggot Zine. Oh boy, the new Israeli government task force is being formed to deport anti-Israel activists at work in the Israel. The committee announced on Sunday by Public Security Minister Gilad Erdan and Interior Minister Ari Dery will locate activists for the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement who are in the country and will prevent BDS activists from entering. Well, why don't we do something like that over here? What the hell? The task force is a necessary step in the light of the malicious intentions of delegitimization activists who act to spread lies and twist the reality of our region, unquote. Erdan said in his announcement. The Jerusalem Post reported Erdan also serves as strategic affairs and public diplomacy minister. Wow. They're going to get him. This Facebook post on Sunday, Erdan announced the task force and called his followers to tell him and his task force about any activists hiding in the country as imposter tourists. Probably Jewish Nazis. Boycotting Israel must have a price, he also said in the post. Gee, I wonder why you don't read this stuff in the American papers, in the U.S. papers. How come? I don't know. And that's it, boys and girls, for today, the 8th of August, 2016. Hang on to your seat. Things are going to get very, very interesting in this country. And don't worry about Donald Trump. And don't listen to their right wing. They're going to run off the cliff with Donald Trump. But that's all right. He's our best man for confusion. Confusion. You know, I tune into these right wing and left wing radio programs. And the masses now, it's election time, so the masses always get involved. Yeah, any other time they could give a shit less. And they're all experts. They're all absolute experts on both right and left. And so they'll go on till this campaign is over, and then they'll go back to bed. But they're funny to listen to because they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. But at election time, they are experts on everything. Wow. I'll see you tomorrow on Tears Day.
I could swear we're going to have that strange sound.
Right now. Time sure flies. It's already past 12.